We're in the very last chapter of John, chapter 21. And this incident sets the scene for the next one, which is our Lord's confirmation of Peter in his role. This is a very, if you go at this in one way, like trying to find out the great theological message, it's hard to find. Well, I mean, you could spend a lot of time trying to figure out why there's only 153 large fish and what that stands for. That has occupied people for two millennia, and we're no closer to an agreement on what that could possibly mean. So we won't start on that this morning. But I think there's something here. You see, this is, again, a meeting. You notice all the Gospels this week are about a meeting between Jesus and some people whom he loves. And here's another one. So Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. When is he saying that? You know, he just doesn't probably know what to do. You know, he's pretty convinced now that Jesus is alive. He's, in the chronology probably, he's already seen him or knows it and heard the witnesses, and Mary Magdalene. Doesn't know what to do. So I'm going back to my old job. And so there's a whole group with him who have evidently gone back up to Galilee. And we're going out with you. So they work all night and catch nothing. Now this incident probably is transferred by Luke back into his gospel, where Peter, when he has this large catch of fish, turns to Jesus and says, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man, whoever you are. And Jesus says, don't worry. You'll be catching men, not just fish. And sort of starts Peter, and as you know, the other disciples, in their vocation. Here, the whole thing is transposed to after the resurrection from the dead, which may be the right place for it. Anyway, you certainly catch a sight of this teaching we've had in this part of the gospel. One of the disciples runs and beats Peter to the tomb. He doesn't go in, but Peter comes and goes right in, looks around, goes home. The other one stayed a little while and gazed at those claws, and he began to believe. And the reason they didn't get any farther, it says in the incident earlier in chapter 20, is because they didn't understand the scriptures. They didn't understand the scriptures. So now, this is another incident, the next one, which concludes the whole gospel. And why these guys who were professionals at this would listen to this fellow on the shore, put it on the other side. But they did. And Peter, was pretty impressed. But it was the other one who said, that's the Lord. Then Peter jumps in and gets ashore. He wants to be with the Lord. Now you see, there's something there. The characteristic of Peter is that he loves the Lord. And when he's going to be reinstated, all that Jesus asks him, not even, are you sorry for betraying me? Nothing. Just, do you love me? And so, it's the Lord. Well, then I've got to be with him. I'm just going to jump overboard and get there. Everybody else is a little bit cooler. They bring the fish and they get there. That's fine. There's something about that quality that is always in a leader in the church. There's the anointed and the appointed, but a leader, somebody who has that kind of love for Jesus, do anything he wants, let him down, sin, be sorry, get reinstated, but always love him. On the other hand, think of the love of Jesus standing on the shore, seeing these fellows out there in their boat. Just think of the love in his heart for them. And I forgot how the children, yeah, they translated it. Children. Hey, boys, have you got anything? Nah, nothing. We worked all night. Well, put the net on the other side. This guy, you know, even from his accent, he's from Nazareth. He does. What does he know about fishing? You know, that's miles from his town. So they do it. Now just think of the love of Jesus for those men. And then think of the love of Jesus right now for us. See, he's called us here this morning to feed us on this incident. Just get a sense of the love and the affection with which he wants to come to us. Try to hang on to it during the day. Oh, Lord, I let you down. I did the, yeah, I know, okay. Do you love me? Yeah, well, come on, we can work with that then. Let's just go. There's something so profound about this story. And so they come in and says, come over now and eat. Then this interesting line. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Are you Jesus? He's so different now that his whole body is so radiant and glorious. And even though he hasn't yet finished that whole journey to the Father, evidently, though that's another hard thing to figure out. I guess, I don't know why they're afraid to ask him. You know, are you Jesus? I mean, they kind of know it is, right? Now, what does this have to say about us? Do you think, see, Jesus has no less love for every one of us in this chapel right now. He's not going to make any of us pope or even an apostle. He's done that. I mean, the 12 who founded the church, they've already been appointed and done their job, and most of them died witnessing to him, and they're in heaven. But can you hear this love, this affection? What a gentle way, you know, to approach them and to show himself to them and to care for them. He'd already caught some fish. It's already cooking. He needs more. But he's already caught some. And he invites them. And where'd the bread come from? Well, he must have brought it. He knew what he was going to do. As we go through the day, we could come back to this. Just try to picture in your mind Jesus standing on the shore saying, hey, fellas, did you catch anything? He knows darn well they didn't. You know. How does he want to address you today? Was yesterday a disaster? Was the whole last month a disaster? Did you catch anything? Nah. That's all right. Come on. You see, ultimately, what will change us is the love of Jesus Christ for us, for you. That's what changes us. And as that begins to take effect in our life, we really change. We really change. And that is the heart of the Eucharist. Love. This love of Jesus. And so, we should try to remember now to pray for each other during the day and pray for everybody else. And when we see people today, say, look, I'm far from this Jesus, but what about just for today? They can see you looking out at them through my eyes. Wouldn't that be great? See, that's what it means to be an apostle, to let the Lord so change us, get rid of all the crud in us so that he's so alive in us that people see him through our eyes. I know people that this happens to them. They're just sitting talking to somebody. The other person just starts to weep. Because they see Jesus. That is the heart of apostolic activity. Jesus taking flesh in our flesh and showing people his love. Now we pay a price for that. We have to die to self in quite a way. But it's worth it. It's worth it for our own knowledge of Jesus and his love for us. It's worth it that the one thing we want people to know, the one thing that will heal them and bring them to a meaning in their life and to joy forever, is Jesus. And if they could catch a glimpse of him in us, wow, what a privilege. So it's worth it. It's worth it. That is what's going on. Hard times? Sure. Everybody's got a hard time. But if we will yield to this work of Jesus, you see, people will actually see him looking out at them through our eyes. What do you think about that? That means die to self. Big time. But it's worth it.